Welcome to the Bonner Breakdown. The Bonner Breakdown is here for conversation, connection, and to find things to celebrate. So get your glass, cup, or mug ready as we celebrate with a cheers to the good report. In today's episode, we have Shannon Williamson from Sandpoint City Council. We discuss city politics and navigating the differences of opinions in our community. You can find out more about this podcast at bonnerbreakdown.com. You can also support this program and get access to our host's afterthoughts from this episode on patreon.com/bonnerbreakdown. We hope that you enjoy today's conversation.
Well, Shannon, welcome back into the studio.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. So it's been a little while. You were one of my first guests.
Oh, really? I didn't know
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely. Huh. So we had just started in the during the run-up to the election, mm-hmm. literally the week before the election is when we got started. Huh. So it was great to have you on then. And I'm going to put you on the spot. We didn't talk about it beforehand, but at the beginning of every show, I do what's called a good report.
Okay.
As you probably have seen on some of the shows. So is there anything good or noteworthy that you want to share?
Life's great right now. I'm getting married.
Come on, that's a good report. Congratulations. So you're engaged.
Thanks, yeah.
And who's the lucky guy?
Travis Sherman.
Oh, good. Awesome.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
We're really excited. So it's been an awesome summer so far.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's great. Great. Well, that is a good report. So awesome. I would say that my good report was actually an article that I read in Sandpoint Reader by Amy Midstock on the shame game.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one.
It was really good. I've been talking about this a lot. I think shame is one of the worst ways to get someone to see your perspective mm-hmm. or point of view or to move things forward. So it's a good report that more people are talking about, just the mm-hmm. that tool.
Sure.
That's being used, I think, pretty broadly across all aisles and spectrums.
Yes.
And, you know, like,
absolutely.
It's pretty crazy mm-hmm. how many people are really using that. That is not a good report, but the good report is that people are talking about it.
Right.
And I think there's a, I mentioned this in a couple different interviews that I think people are starting to wake up a little bit going, mm-hmm. Wait,
I hope so.
What's
I
happening?
Really do hope
yeah,
so.
Yeah, there's like people have been in a stupor, you know, like mm-hmm. and like some things have been happening that I don't think people are real happy about, but it's good to see that we're waking up and mm-hmm. choosing a different way to hopefully deal with our issues
sure.
and conflict
sure.
and all that kind of stuff. So to me, that's a good report. So cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers to the good report. Awesome. It always tastes better together.
Absolutely.
Come on. It's good. We always got to find things to celebrate, right?
I think that's really important. It's yeah. been a tough, you know, last 6 months, I think, mm-hmm. for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't find something to celebrate, then, you know, you're just going to be miserable. So
that's right. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, the ability to find things to celebrate actually produces opportunities for hope.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because
if you don't find things to celebrate, I think you get stuck in a little hopeless.
Yeah, for sure. I've seen, you know, how you communicate with friends these days a lot of time is through social media.
Mm-hmm.
And so, especially the ones that are far away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been really interesting to watch how different people have been handling kind of the situation that we've been through
mm-hmm.
since the spring. And some folks are just, you know, sailing along and finding new ways to live life, and others
yep.
are really struggling, and
yep.
and that's been hard to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So let's back up a little bit.
Sure.
Okay. So for people who don't know Shannon, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of what you're involved with, and what kind of give us a general review and update about
sure.
your.
Well, I've lived in Sandpoint since 2011. I'm a mom. I have two
mm-hmm.
kids. I
awesome.
Have a 13-year-old son, which every time I say that, I'm just like, wait.
Right.
And he acts like a 13-year-old boy.
Oh, okay, yeah, all right.
So he is fully in that role.
Yeah,
and
that's
I have a,
awesome.
A 10-year-old daughter going on 16, so
uh-huh.
that's
they
been
all,
fun.
They all do. They all do. Yeah,
yeah. yeah mm-hmm. It's kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I am originally from Pennsylvania.
and grew up and went to school up and down the East Coast until I made the leap out west for my career. Mm-hmm. And then in 2011, things really shifted for me and my family, and we moved up here. So, been here ever since. You know, I don't think anybody can complain to live in Sandpoint.
Seriously.
It's pretty spectacular.
It's just amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, got involved in the community and have been on the city council since 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And have been city council president for my second term. So
okay.
I'm in 6.5 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And so we chatted in November
mm-hmm.
or at the end of October.
October, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of October. And then when we fast forward, we hit March and the realities of COVID-19 and mm-hmm. the pandemic started to really take root here locally.
Yeah.
Kind of what's your observations about that process for the city back then? Like what was kind of happening? What was going on for you during all that?
Yeah, I think the city became really hypervigilant about the situation in general.
Yeah.
And we were really, you know, paying close attention to what the task force, the local task force was saying. We would get regular updates.
Uh-huh.
We kind of had to shut down City Hall and our meetings went virtual, which, you know, that was even controversial
right.
among some city council members.
Yeah.
And just kind of took it week by week. We started mm-hmm. to meet weekly in case we had to kind of shift quickly in terms of how we were dealing with the situation. And, you know, throughout the lockdown, there was only 4 cases and there was no community spread. And so, I think that was a good and a bad thing, to be honest with you.
I agree. Gift and a curse. Right.
That's great. We don't want anybody to be sick. We don't want our hospital to be overwhelmed.
Correct.
But then a lot of folks were like, well, there's only 4 cases. Like, why are we shutting down our entire mm-hmm. Economy for this? And so when things started to open up, you know, we went back, we shifted our protocols again, you know, City Hall was open again with, mm-hmm. with some new, you know, safety measures. And we started meeting in person again. And, you know, we still had limited seating, which had become just yet another controversial issue.
It still is.
And it still is.
Yep.
So we are, you know, looking into how we deal with that and attendance and, you know, who gets priority or if anybody gets priority. And so that's been interesting to deal with. And now that, you know, there's wide community spread and our cases just continue to get, you know, just we get walloped every single day with the numbers. I mean, I know Kootenai County's much worse off than we are, but it, you know, it's just really unprecedented. I think all of us are struggling with what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's frustrating watching everyone eating downtown, you know, mm-hmm. like counting the plates of out of state mm-hmm. folks. And, you know,
boy.
Either you need the money for the uh-huh. tourist dollars to come in, but you don't want the illness. And so it's just
crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah. This is definitely a rock and a hard place for mm-hmm. our community, mm-hmm. you know, and there's no simple answer and there's no binary thinking allowed right now.
No.
That is, we just cannot get stuck in a this or that.
Well, and that's where I feel nuanced. Like we are stuck. Well, I mean the folks that I hear from, at least I can't speak for anybody else on the council, but I literally will get, you know, 50% of my emails are please don't make us wear masks,
mm-hmm.
And we'll sue you if we do
mm-hmm.
if you do. And then the other 50 are like, please make everybody wear masks.
Yep.
And it's just really challenging.
It is really challenging. And so where do you sit on all that?
Well, you probably saw that at our last council meeting, a motion was floated to mandate masks, and it was done in a bit of an untraditional way in that there was a potential action under the COVID-19 update. And so that's not typically how we do things. We like to allow the public a chance to say, okay, this is on the agenda. I feel really strongly about this, and so I'm going to come testify. We had plenty of people testify. Oh, yeah.
You guys have been
still
packed.
I mean, yeah, you know, but there packed, was a lot of questions like, well, what's this about, and why didn't we have a chance to know about it? And so since there wasn't any kind of, like, really detailed proposed ordinance of, like, this is what this would look like, for me personally, that's really, I feel like I was really put on the spot.
Right.
And I know that it was going to be a challenge to pass anyway,
right,
in terms of where I know some of the council people sit.
Yes.
That being said, I personally choose to wear a mask. My family wears masks. I think it's an important thing to do. But should the council be the one that's mandating it? I know the county, I can't say I know 100%, but I feel pretty strongly that the county probably wouldn't be moving in that direction. And it really probably,
You can probably bank
on that. I
can
safely say
one.
That.
Yeah, I think you can. That was very, very, that was a really sweet, that was a really sweet way to say that.
Okay.
But the county's
they're not going to do that.
No, in fact, the opposite. Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But I really think that the health district is probably, like, any governing body, you know, out of all of them, is the health district is the body that should be making that decision. And, and they haven't even been able to do that.
No. Well, so for me, just throwing my two cents into the mask arena, I think that freedom, personal freedom, and high levels of community education and awareness is the best way to go. Like, I think, like, if you can encourage something with some data, with some information, which everybody disagrees on the data, like, we get that. Okay. And, if we can respect each other's personal freedom to wear or not to wear, I think that you will actually find more people wearing masks when it's a choice freedom issue.
Right.
Out of respect for each other, for the people who aren't comfortable, I think more people would be apt to go, oh, okay, I can do that.
Sure.
Like, I'm totally fine with doing that. Like, oh, that store's asking me to put on a mask. Okay. That's not like, okay, am I willing to give up a piece of my personal rights because a company's making a mandate? Well, if I want to shop there, sure. I'm going to have to take up that issue. Nobody gave me the God-given right to shop at Walmart.
Right. It's true.
Right. Yeah. But as long as we are allowed the freedom to make those choices, I think, like, I look at the model that the only state, South Dakota, that did zero mandates for anything, and they've never had any major issues there.
Sure.
Like, you know, because they've said, okay, well, you guys, here's the education and here's the freedom. So that's my personal take.
Right. And it's just like, we revert back to being children. Sometimes when you're told to do something, you're most likely going to do the opposite.
Yeah. Huh.
And I mean, I had someone message me after council and said, thanks for, you know, not mandating masks. I'm going to start wearing one now.
Yep.
I didn't expect that message. I was actually a little taken aback, but I said, you know, okay, you know, that's.
Yeah, I think it just is, if we treat it as an issue of respecting one another more than a forced compulsion, I think in any, like with my kids, like you go back to kids, like if I'm like, hey, Quinn, here's the way that we want to approach that, and here's all the whys as to why, and we really want to, oh, okay. But if I'm like, you're doing that because it's what I'm forcing you to do, then
nope.
I don't want to do it. That's human nature, right?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, it is a tough one. And so the COVID-19 response has been, there was a little bit of fear and concern of an overstep from the mayor into taking some control and locking Sandpoint down, in the sense of enacting social distancing and limiting business activity. But then the like within a day or so before that, the governor, you know, went ahead and took those actions. Mm-hmm. There seemed like there was a lot of tension around that, mm-hmm. around that potential. And being president of city council, I'm sure a lot of things were coming at you mm-hmm. during that process. What was that like?
Yeah, I think there was just a lot of general concern that we were placing all the power in one person's hands.
Oh, okay.
And so, okay. This, you know, what I heard from folks was that, you know, we elected six of you to be the voting body and right. to make decisions because the mayor breaks ties. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people were uncomfortable with us handing over that power, okay. not across unilaterally across the board. It would have just been in terms of this particular situation.
Yeah, an emergency type situation.
Yes. Right. So, you know, many members of the council, I think all of us but one, we weren't comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. So I think we did the right thing. And, you know, sometimes it's, I'm sure we would like those hard decisions to be taken away from us, but that's our responsibility.
Right.
So, this has probably been the toughest year for me on council. I mean, there's just been, you know, big issues after big issues. And, you know, not to mention the running of the city, which is, you know, we're there to
business.
It's a business. It's a yep. it's a really expensive business.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so, you know, now we're moving into budget season, and you know, I think we're all really excited about it because we're
that's
like, thank
so great.
God.
We're so jazzed for the budget
Yay.
Season.
So
that's great. That's
so, funny. Yeah. You know, we are craving a little bit of normalcy as well, uh-huh. but you know, we're still, you know, hearing everybody's concerns about, everything across the board.
Right. Yeah. 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 So we managed to reopen. We get into, I think, phase three, phase four, and then we have the George Floyd, mm-hmm. Killing in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. And, it reawakens this, what I would call a sleeping giant mm-hmm. of race relations in America. And we have seen, a multiplicity of viewpoints, mm-hmm. of belief systems, of political ideology, mm-hmm. of like I've talked about in the Good Report, approaches to change, whether it's we're going to use shame mm-hmm. or education, or we're going to vilify anyone who disagrees with that. You know, like there's mm-hmm. this
yeah.
craziness going, you know, across the board. And there's been some conflict, you know, I think with the city in specifically with some of the BLM protests mm-hmm. and people, you know, as far as the role of, you know, what's the city condoning, not condoning, you
right.
know, like even like graffiti and all yes. this kind of stuff. So, what's that process been like for you since the George Floyd incident?
It's been intense.
Yeah.
Like I said before, it's kind of along similar lines. Like I get one type of message from one side and the exact opposite message from the other.
Correct. Yes.
And that's really frustrating, but that's yeah. how people feel. And, yeah. and they have a right to how they feel.
Absolutely.
And I think that the city is doing the best it can in terms of responding and reacting and making sure that the laws are being followed. Mm-hmm. That's our job, mm-hmm. you know, is to respect the laws that we've mandated. And so we can't pick one over the other
yeah.
and choose to enforce one and not mm-hmm. another. Mm-hmm. And so that's put us in a really hard place. Mm. But again, I think with tensions being extremely high, there's been some uncomfortable situations for everybody, for the folks that chose to peacefully protest, mm-hmm. yeah. And for those that felt that they were there to protect them. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a really interesting yeah. challenge, I think, yeah. for all the council to really listen impartially.
Good.
And,
yeah.
or at least for me, I can't speak for anybody else, but yeah. I feel like it's been harder than ever, you know, because there's so much divisiveness and just there. I haven't seen a lot of middle of the road, if anything, at all. And you know, I can't judge that either.
Yeah.
So I try to just hear everybody's perspective.
Yeah.
And do my job.
Yeah.
And that's why we came out with a statement saying, like, you know, we don't want to see this level of divisiveness in the community. This is a great community. We want to see people come together. We want people to hear each other without judgment.
Yep.
And that's a tall order, you know, to ask. But I think that the more people just try to do that, like, I hear some things that I at first am just like, you know, gut shot, like, nope, I don't agree with that. Nope. You know, but then, no, that goes against, you know, you know, a belief system.
Correct. Yeah.
But I really try to understand where someone's coming from.
Yep.
Across the board.
Yeah.
And that's been really hard.
It is really hard. It is really hard. I realized in doing the show that I'd have to be vulnerable and open and transparent, and people might not like me for it or whatever, you know? One of the hardest parts in this whole process is, finding that common ground, finding the place where we can sit and have an open conversation without guilt and shame and without the fear of cancellation, whatever's going on now with cancel culture, as it's so aptly phrased. I think that, the ability to empathize with real hurts, real issues is different from prescribing solutions to that empathy. And I think that's where the common ground, I think that we had 4 days of absolute unity in America. I think it's the first time since 9/11 that the country was absolutely 100% unified around his murder, around George Floyd's murder. And so I have this phrase about free money that if you find $100 bill laying on the ground, pick it up. And I felt like as a nation, we had 4 days of free money that any politician could have picked up. Anybody could have ran to unify the nation. Cause to me, being a coach, like I've coached basketball and in different sports, when you have momentum in a direction, you got to capitalize on that. You got to okay, do more of that, you know? And if it's outrage towards something, then you can actually capitalize on that and create a movement that unifies the nation for healthy dialogue and fixing some things, but nobody did it.
No,
not a single person did. So.
No, I think it went in the opposite direction.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
And that, and it impacts us here in a little small town.
It's had a huge impact. I think it's created a lot of good dialogue. And has opened, I think, a lot of people's eyes to kind of what we were discussing before, like this very, you know, one way thinking on either side, of trying to understand somebody else's perspective.
Right.
I think that's it's super difficult, but I feel like there's been a little bit of movement in that direction.
Yeah.
Just a little, not a ton, but you know, I think that the more we can do that, especially in these times of COVID and, you know, we don't just like so much uncertainty and every issue has become so polarized. Now we're talking about, oh, kids are going back to school. So there's no mediocre opinions on everything is just, you know, either you feel really strongly like kids got to go back to school or, you know, no way. So I don't see an end in sight for issues in terms of like polarization, but it just gives us more opportunity to practice of like having a good dialogue.
Well, I think maybe there's an agreement. Maybe there's a place of an agreement that we can unify around that we all have different science that we're going to believe.
True.
Like maybe we can agree that we can all come up with different facts and data to try and support our opinions, right?
Right.
Like, I'm just seeing like, okay, what is it we all are saying and agreeing on? Well, my COVID data is different than your COVID data, and my hydroxychloroquine data is different than your you know, like we can just agree, like my mask studies are different than your mask studies. Mm-hmm. And maybe we can agree that we will always try to find the data that buttresses our bias mm-hmm. more than truth.
Yeah, that's been really frustrating because, I mean, I am a scientist.
You are, absolutely.
My yeah. specialty is in viruses. So yeah. I feel like, you know, I know a little bit
yeah.
about what's going on.
Yeah.
And yeah. I think just the talk about, like, I've been doing my research and, mm-hmm. you know, I have all the data and I, you know, I've done all the science. You know, it's like, it's just whatever supports your belief system. Yeah, yeah. And so I struggle a little bit when I hear that because I'm mm-hmm. like, no, that's not really science and that's not really yeah. accurate data. And yeah. but I could say that all day long.
All day.
And it's not going to make a difference. So I just, right. you know, I have mm-hmm. to do what's right for mm-hmm. protecting my family and mm-hmm. protecting others. And
agreed.
And yep. I did ask at the last council meeting, after we had a lot of testimony about, you know, I've done all the research and all the data shows, you know, that masks are bad and blah, blah, blah. Not trying to minimize anybody's comments, correct. But, yeah. okay. You know, I said, it'd be really great, you know, like as I was wearing a mask, Kate was wearing a mask, the city is asked employees to wear masks. So I feel like I'm an employee of the city. So I'm going to wear my mask mm-hmm. at a meeting. Is it comfortable for 5 hours? Not really. Mm-mm. You know, I'd prefer not to, but if our employees have to wear it, then I'm going to wear it. Anyway, you know, there was a lot of kind of finger pointing and, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
you're silly for wearing a mask. And I just said, you just be respectful of people. You know,
yeah.
when you're out and about, and like if a store owner asks you to wear a mask, like don't throw a hissy fit. Just either put it on or don't shop there, you yeah. know, or don't make fun of people on Facebook because you saw them wearing a mask in their car. Does that hurt you at all? No.
Not at all.
Does it make you feel better to make fun of somebody because they were wearing a mask? Like, and a lot of people have a reason because they're going to more than one store and they don't want to touch the mask and put it on and off. And you know, there's yep. legitimate reasons. So sure. it's just like, mm-hmm. you know, it's just respect people.
Yeah.
Respect their choices.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, in a very independent region of the country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, where we have this independent mindset. You know, mm-hmm. I had interviewed Michael Tracy, who's an independent national journalist who goes around and he's touring around all the BLM protests aftermath mm-hmm. and the riot aftermath. Mm-hmm. And he's in Seattle right now. I think he's probably heading to Portland this next week, which is craziness right now.
Yes.
And being, you know, growing up in the Salem, Portland area, half of my upbringing, I, you know, have an affinity for that community. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting in the conversation because I realized that being in an area that is so independently minded, one of the ways that independence works is mutual respect. Mm-hmm. And if we cannot operate with mutual respect mm-hmm. towards one another, then we actually are doing the thing that we say that we hate.
Right.
Right. I mean, absolutely. We start to actually take on the characteristic of the thing that we really don't like, which is an authoritarian mm-hmm. type of government that's telling us what to do. But instead, we're going to be authoritarian and tell everyone else what to right. do. And so, yeah, I feel like we've got to step back and step back into that. If you're going to be really, truly independent in our mindset, we actually have to put mutual respect for one another at the top of our list
right.
of desirable attitudes and traits to carry mm-hmm. in this next season. So, mm-hmm.
and that's a tall order. Like I said before,
I think even pointing right it now, out to people, mm-hmm. pointing it out wakes people up. Like, I think you having that phrase at the, like, hey, maybe we could, and so, oh, I'm going to go ahead and wear a mask now because you said that. Mm-hmm. I think it, and not that the stated goal was to make them wear a mask.
No.
But it's just a byproduct of mutual respect. Of sure. People going, oh, okay, I'm willing to give that, you know, so.
Right. No, I think it was well received. I could, you know, you can see people's faces kind of soften. And I mean, there's just so much emotion and
there is.
Hostility. Absolutely. on it's practically any issue, you know, like you could probably start a Facebook war on Safeway versus Super One at this point, you know, like, nope, Safeway has better donuts. And like, it could just blow up and people mm-hmm. would just lose their minds. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, we're in such, you know, there's just so much tension and so much, that's not predictable about mm-hmm. our lives, and we're creatures of habit.
Wow. You know? That's a great point. So, that's a great point.
I mean, no not predictability. Knowing. Yeah.
Yep. And it's an election year.
Yay.
Speaking of unpredictable.
Yeah. Oh, so that on top of it. Yeah. I mean, I keep saying, like, I just, like, I wish it was just, you know, December.
Right.
Right now. Yeah. You know. Although I can't complain too much. No. I mean, my kids are happy. You know, mm-hmm. I made it through homeschooling them mm-hmm. unexpectedly. And, you know, I realized I'm kind of more introverted than I thought, because our lives didn't really change that much on lockdown.
Right.
Honestly, we missed being able to go get a bite to eat at our favorite restaurant. Right. But, you know, as long as I can get outdoors mm-hmm. and walk on a trail mm-hmm. every day, you know, it didn't really have as much impact as it has, I thought it was going to have.
And yeah.
It's kind of, people talk about the new normal, and I really hope this isn't our new normal.
No.
But you do have to find what works for you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and, you know, as you have, you know, we've kind of weathered a brief, what I would call a brief reopening, and we do not know. Mm-mm. We can try to predict what may or may not happen, but we do not know what's going to happen next. No. And so with that level of uncertainty, as you look ahead with, you know, as far as just staying on COVID-19 for another moment, mm-hmm. As you look ahead for the city, what are some of the plans, contingencies that you guys have in place in case things move sideways?
Right. Well, you know, in the event that the governor moves us back, which is unlikely. He said he's leaving it up to local jurisdictions.
Trying not to.
Or if Panhandle Health District says, hey, we need to move back to stage three. I think we're prepared. You know, we'll go back to what we were doing before, where City Hall is closed down. You know, we already had to, you know, minimize the number of seats in council chambers, which has been problematic a little bit.
Yeah, we'll get there.
We gave out 3,000 masks in 2 hours.
That. Pretty awesome.
So we have
that's an amazing, amazing turnout.
Yeah. No, so it's really encouraging, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. We've reordered. Mm-hmm. So the more we can model the behavior we'd like to mm-hmm. see, the better.
So now some people, I saw a little hubbub about the mask giveaway, that it would actually be used as one of those, see how necessary this is type of thing. Mm. And then, push people into, like into a mask mandate.
Oh, I see.
Like, so the city's giving away all this mask to prove the point that we should mandate masks.
Right. No, that's definitely not the intention behind it.
Yeah.
I can see how that would come up, you know. Sure. But
everybody's looking for the angle.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Big time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it was really interesting at the last meeting where so the motion didn't get a second. And then we still received probably, I think, 2 hours of testimony from people asking us. I don't recall one person in person actually asking us to mandate. It was all against mandating. And so I know sometimes like the processes of council can be confusing if you're not, if you don't go on a regular basis, which the vast majority of people do not do.
Yep.
So I just wanted to remind people that, you know, we at that point in time, we weren't mandating anything. And, you know, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know if another motion will come forward or not. I haven't heard anything about it. But the public will be given plenty of notice if that's the case. And I'm sure we'll go through the same thing again. But handing out masks is our way of just, you know, for people who may not be in a position to buy them. And would like to use them.
Yep, that's great. So when we had the, I'm going to hop around a little bit, if that's all right. So we have we've had, I don't know, 5 or 6 different BLM type rallies or protests or whatever, you know, you want to, whatever label that is. We had our first one with our, you know, people, the armed citizenry down there. And, you know, that created a tremendous level of conflict. It created conflict via, you know, I think commentary on the left and the right, and commentary on the pro and against, and the comment, you know, everybody's hot takes, and, and their, I had a lengthy conversation with Shelby right after that. I don't know if you watched that one.
I saw part of it.
We talked about intent versus impact, quite a bit, you know, about, you know, guns downtown, and we talked about, you know, some of that process. And then I had obviously Ryan Lesh and then Ron Korn and different people who were down there on, what's that process been like, that conflict process, and what are some takeaways that you've taken from that?
You know, it's been really interesting, and we've heard a lot from, both, I guess you would call it, the left and the right.
And I think it's fairly safe to say your pro Second Amendment armed citizenry is going to lean right. And the anti-gun, I don't want to see it anywhere near me, and you know, is more leans left. I think that's a fair, I think it's a fair judgment or assessment.
I try not to generalize too much that way, but I mean, based on the comments I've received, that's kind of how they fall. And so there was a lot of impassioned comments on both sides. Again, absolutely. And, you know, I was glad that the protesters were able to, you know, march safely, and that there weren't any kind of violence that came out of that. And there's vastly different opinions on why that didn't happen. Like, oh, well, because there was an armed presence in town. And so we
It was never happening.
It wasn't going to happen. You know, there was a lot of misinformation that was out there. And that was really unfortunate. You know, when we are our police chief, whenever there's any kind of rumor around, you know, Antifa's coming, or people are going to come and set the city on fire, you know, they're doing their due diligence to determine if that has any validity or not. Regardless, certain folks are going to hear that and respond in the way that they felt was appropriate. And I, you know, totally understand how young folks and older folks alike that encountered people open carrying were intimidated.
It's a culture shock.
It is.
You're not used to seeing it.
And I know people, you know, conceal carry all the time. I see people open carry quite a bit, actually, in certain stores. But not to that level, I guess.
And those are, you know, a handgun on the belt is a different feeling of open carry. It feels much more personal than a rifle.
So I heard, you know, I totally get that. And interestingly, you know, I heard equally strong voices from the other side saying, I'm a business owner, or I was shopping downtown and I was really glad that they were there.
I heard a bunch of those.
And so for one side to try to delegitimize the feelings of another side is just not okay. You know, no matter where I personally feel about it. This is where, you know, there's just been so much polarization in the way that we mm-hmm. think. It's like, if you don't, and again, if you don't think this way, then there's something wrong with you.
Yep.
And I don't think that's quite fair.
Yeah.
So I think that, as long as people, continue to protest peacefully, mm-hmm. And they, you know, feel like they want to do so, they mm-hmm. should.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad that the chief said, you know, to the folks that wanted to, open carry downtown to protect the town or protect the protesters, which I know there's been a lot of controversy around mm-hmm. their intent as well. Yeah. You know, our chief said to them, like, we got this, you know, and there's really no need for you to come out in an effort to back us up or protect us. And for the next protest that happened, which was quite a bit larger, to my understanding, they didn't show up.
No, well, and I think, and this is part of the conversation I have with Ryan Lesh, was around that, because mm-hmm. he's like, they asked us to not come to the mm-hmm. next one. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, we didn't show up, but many of us were there. Mm-hmm. Like they were available. So mm-hmm. if anything sideways did start happening, they mm-hmm. could they were there to be on guard in case, mm-hmm. but they were definitely willing to not show up with guns and right. everything else for the sake of what they were trying to do with the, and you know,
right.
And I think that oftentimes you don't realize what's counterproductive until you do it.
Right.
And then the other aspect of it as well that that I noticed was when you do have a large show of force up front, it definitely creates a detraction. Mm-hmm. It's a deterrent even in the future. Like people are like, okay, so there's a lot of people with big guns mm-hmm. here in this town. Is this where we want to go to do something?
Yeah.
Probably
not. And I'm glad that, you know, it hasn't happened again.
Absolutely.
You know, and
as far as people showing up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With yeah. guns. Okay. I respect their right to do so.
Okay.
But we have a very competent police force that mm-hmm. I have confidence in, and I think that they respect our police chief as well. And so if he says, you know, please, you know, please don't gather, then I'm glad that they were listening.
Yeah. And you know, from the standpoint of city council, mm-hmm. You know, kind of following that, we've had this previously shot down. I don't know if that's the right word, but the declaration for the Love Lives Here campaign mm-hmm. declaration.
The proclamation,
mm-hmm. sorry. Mm-hmm. The proclamation that was previously put forth by the mayor, and the city council said that you guys weren't going to do it. Was that right?
Well, I think those are two different things.
Okay, there were two different things. I thought it was similar. I am re-remembering accurately, but go ahead.
Are you referring to the inclusion initiative?
The inclusion initiative, okay. which is different than the Love Lives Here campaign. Yeah.
Yeah. So those were two different things.
You're right.
And the council at the time didn't, so basically removed the funding for the initiative because we didn't have enough information about what it was specifically going to be used for. And we mm-hmm. didn't get the information in a timely manner. So
yeah.
it didn't move forward, but, the mayor's proclamation was completely different. I think some of the intent was a little bit in alignment for sure. But, there was a lot of misconceptions that, like, a mayor's proclamation is different from city council action.
Yep.
So, some folks, I think, were sensitive to the fact that from the community's perspective, they're like, oh, you guys passed this. We're like, no. I mean, it's the mayor's prerogative to make proclamations.
Yeah,
so, you know, that's what he did. And there was a lot of strong feelings about it mm-hmm. on both sides. And there still is, you know.
Absolutely.
Still is.
It's still raging.
Yeah. So, I think that it's kind of like a civics lesson right now going on too.
It really is. Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah, absolutely.
About, you know, how council works and mm-hmm. what the mayor's role is and what the council's role is and how things get adopted and who's in charge of enforcing them. And it's not something people think about.
No.
Mostly. I mean, normally we have a handful of people in attendance at a council meeting. Usually they're all staff.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Which we get excited when there's more people, but not when it's really controversial because, you know, it's exhausting.
It is.
It's really
they're
exhausting.
Really long meetings.
Long meetings. And it's just, I try to keep up the best I can with people who contact me. And then I think just in the last, you know, couple meetings, you'll just get a flood of 100 emails in the span of like an hour, you know, and then high volumes in between. So it's become a bit of a challenge, you know, but I think we all had mentioned, I don't know if it was the last meeting, like we are reading your emails, you know, we are getting your phone messages, you know, and doing our best to, you know, take everyone's comments into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Have there been any voicemails or emails that have stepped over the line?
In my course on council, yes. I've had some pretty offensive things said. I think people just are really impassioned right now.
Okay.
And
yeah, I'm just curious if that line was getting pushed.
For me, you know, I'm a big girl, you know, like I've experienced a lot being on this council and running for election,
right.
You know, like pretty much nothing surprises me anymore.
Okay.
And you gotta have a thick skin, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But I don't, I mean, people just are going to feel very strongly one way or the other. And if you, what I've learned is if you, meaning myself or anybody else on council, if you don't fall in one of those two buckets, it's like, you're just wrong, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not how I operate, you know?
So how do we foster middle ground? What's your idea?
I think
any
people need to just talk to each other and not just have these preconceived notions and call each other names, you know, and label people. That's, I mean, the labeling's been going on for a long time, but
a long time,
just, you know, the inability or unwillingness to hear somebody else's perspective.
Yep.
Even if I already know, like, I'm probably not going to agree with you.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely.
But are you probably, like, a decent member of society that's not a psychopath? Like, most likely, you know?
We hope.
There's probably a few out there. But that's something I've had to learn, even, you know, over the last couple of years. I feel like when I first started on council, like I was much more of a black and white thinker in terms of societal issues, you know, things that are, you know, hot button topics. And I don't know if it's because of my own personal experience. I think last year's election taught me a lot. You know, I just learned a lot of lessons and it really changed my perspective on just how we treat each other and, you know, how we try to understand somebody. Even if it kind of goes against your kind of internal grain, if you will.
Sure. Your bias.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how to foster middle ground. I mean, that's what I wish people would do. Mm-hmm. I wish you just wouldn't just have these like snap reactions and, you know, call someone names and it happens on both sides of the spectrum and it's just so exhausting to watch. And I understand why people just get off of social media. And like, I feel like it's part of my job is to kind of like know what's going on and that's unfortunately like where you learn the most.
Yeah,
I would just hope that people would just try, you know, challenge yourself a little bit to not be so judgmental.
Yeah. It is a challenge
mm-hmm.
when you feel confident in your perspective
mm-hmm.
and you feel like the way that you're viewing a situation or a belief system or mm-hmm. an ideology,
mm-hmm.
You see things working out that you are concerned about and you feel will be detrimental mm-hmm. to the health of the community, detrimental to the health of your family, detrimental to the schools, mm-hmm. detrimental to whatever. And I see that most of the conflict is born out of a genuine concern within
Absolutely.
Individuals.
Yeah.
And I think that might be where the common ground is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you really care about the community, so do I.
Mm-hmm.
We do not see things eye to eye.
Right.
But that's where the common ground is.
Maybe. Right. Right. I've seen, like, some people almost, like, make a claim to Sandpoint. Like, you really are only part of the community of Sandpoint if you think this way.
Oh.
And, you know, yeah, you're absolutely. Not entitled to call this your town if you don't think this way.
Mm.
Even if the person saying that doesn't live in town.
Yeah.
I've just seen a lot of hypocrisy in, like, who's allowed to be
uh-huh.
part of this community and uh-huh. who isn't.
I definitely see that on both sides.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both sides.
And it's a little heartbreaking,
mm-hmm.
you know. You know, one of the things that my wife and I have talked about often is how much we have just a passionate love for this community.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just love this place. And that stuff breaks your heart because you know that actually in order for us to coexist and if you're in different ideologies and in different viewpoints, we mm-hmm. cannot forget our humanity.
Mm-mm. No, it's almost like walking into an alternate universe because people, like, they call them the keyboard warriors,
yeah.
right? You can hide behind your computer screen and say all these nasty things. And for me personally, it just gives me anxiety.
Yeah,
like, I just
right.
have this feeling like, oh my gosh. And
yeah.
then I'll just go out with my kids or myself and, you know, run some errands and everyone's
fine.
Great.
So I have Michael Tracy on, who's mm-hmm. a national journalist traveling across the country. And he's like, I love the way this place feels. Everybody is mm-hmm. so kind and everybody is so nice. And I'm like, really? Like, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And then I start talking about this national divide that is mm-hmm. that is the national divide on who you're voting for and what the policies are, you know, what left or right, and how that national narrative has taken over the city,
mm-hmm.
taken over the county,
mm-hmm.
on how we do local things, instead of stepping back and looking at things from a truly localized perspective,
mm-hmm.
we're allowing the national thing to drive our local narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And he was shocked. He's like, wait, what? Because it doesn't feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel that way. I was reading in, I think it was in the Bee, one of the letters to the editor of somebody said, I moved here because of how great this place felt. And now that I'm here,
mm-hmm.
I see that it is not like it, you know, felt at first glance.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, well, actually, we probably are way more unified and way more joined together and way more, we carry way more common interest and have a really healthy relationship with everybody
mm-hmm.
in person
mm-hmm.
versus social media.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, so,
or any other city. I mean, I come from Philadelphia. I mean, people aren't that nice. I mean, for real.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really a different feel.
Oh yeah.
I mean, that might be true for a lot of big cities.
Sure. Well, I think East Coast.
Yeah.
And, is
definitely
a way different world, right?
It is.
You know,
it is.
You go down south and everybody's, you know, trying to act like they're your great aunt from, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I went to lost family, you know.
College in North Carolina. And when I moved down there and everyone was like, hey, you know, uh-huh. always saying hi. I was like, what is happening?
Uh-huh.
You know, because I had just yep. been so, I had gotten so accustomed to people just not being necessarily super rude, but just a different way of being.
Yep.
And this is more like, where at least when you're in person, mm-hmm. I think people mm-hmm. genuinely do, you know, are happy and
yeah.
friendly.
Agreed. Agreed. So what do you think is some of the big obstacles coming up for the city?
Well, like I mentioned earlier, we're going into budget season, mm-hmm. And that's always a challenge, you know, wanting to make sure we're, you know, spending taxpayer dollars where they're
properly, wisely.
Exactly.
Yes.
And
smart.
We try to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just went through all these master planning processes, mm-hmm. and some are still ongoing. Mm-hmm. And so the next phase is, okay, here's the vision mm-hmm. That everyone's agreed on. And here's the time frame. Now, how's it going to get paid for?
Yep.
You know?
Can I just, for anybody who's watching, who's like, wait, there's going to be a vision in the master planning and I didn't know about that. Can I just say that this has been a year of conversations?
Yes.
With a lot of people with yeah. 20 opportunities to speak into this stuff
mm-hmm.
easily. So if you're caught off guard, it's because you're not paying attention.
Yeah. Thanks for saying that.
I'll just say, if you're caught off guard by any of the master planning initiatives, like, so for me with housing, mm-hmm. I definitely wanted to get involved as much as possible in the comprehensive planning process mm-hmm. as it pertains to housing, because that's the specialty that I really focus on. So guess what? I show up.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? I get yeah. called. I get, hey, we want you on this. Okay, great. Why? Because I get involved, mm-hmm. you know? So please don't complain if you're not involved, because
yeah.
you have tons of opportunities.
There. Now more than ever.
There. I said it.
Well, okay? I'm glad you said it.
Anytime.
But no, that's something that I think the city's done a huge,
phenomenal job.
Awesome job on.
I've been blown away.
Over the last couple yeah. of years. Just yeah. like, if you want your voice heard, you'll have it heard.
That's right.
Yep. So yeah, we have, you know, we're pretty far along in some of those. Mm-hmm. And so now we have to, you know, figure out how we're going to make these visions come alive. And
yeah, this is the fun part.
Yeah, it's fun. But it's also challenging. Yeah. It's like, wow, that's going to be really expensive, you uh-huh. know? And again, you know, yep. I'd rather have people fight over land swaps any day than some of the stuff we've been dealing with. But, mm-hmm. you know, nothing is ever, nobody agrees on anything. So,
no.
That's always a bit of a challenge. And then we have our, you know, wastewater treatment plant that we're going to be replacing, in the next few years. And, we got through the, you know, the big planning process of deciding, are we going to stay? Are we going to go, you know, like, where's it going to be located? And, all of that. And now we're aggressively trying to reduce basically leaky water coming into our sewer lines, because, we treat way more groundwater at our sewage treatment plant than actual sewage. And so it's silly, in most of our opinion, to build a plant that has a huge capacity just to treat leaky pipes. So we have a big push going on right now to try to reduce that.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. And then we'll have to do a new rate study because we have to pay for it. Everything, all these things, you know, have to be paid for. And so, you know, a multi, like, you know, $80 million project is going to affect rates. And so we're Absolutely. Trying to do everything we can yep. to build the smallest capacity plant we can get away with so that, you know, people aren't, you know, walloped with a huge bill.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
Well, and then you also have to look at the growth and capacity increases mm-hmm. that you have to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah, because this place is not slowing down.
No, it's not. It's crazy.
Not, it's
I
not
mean,
slowing down.
I went to Sandpoint Furniture a couple weeks ago to get a new mattress for my son. And the gentleman that helped me is like, yeah, I think they have that in stock. He's like, but it's been crazy. And I was like, oh, really? Is it because people are, I don't know, remodeling during COVID? He's like, nope. He said there's just massive amounts of people moving
yeah,
to the area.
If I heard the statistic correctly, And I put that caveat on there. June was the largest month of home sales quantity, what number
wow.
wise, in the history of the Selkirk MLS.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible. I mean, I knew we were growing faster than we predicted from our first comprehensive
yeah.
plan, but I was not aware of the influx going on recently. So that's going to be something we definitely have to plan for. A lot of folks are not moving necessarily within city limits or where we serve.
Absolutely.
Or have services. Yep. But, you know, we want to be able to be nimble enough to, if we decide in the future regionalization is something we do want to go towards, that we can accommodate that.
And, yeah.
You know, so there's just a lot of planning to think about as we move forward. But it's exciting that we're not going to be tearing up our streets this year. So
that's a big plus.
Yes. Although I would pay money to go back to the days of like that was the only thing people had to complain about. But are. So that's our budget's reduced by $4 million this year because we don't have a huge downtown revitalization phase going on.
Yeah.
And we're going to revisit that the following year.
Okay.
Good. To do a phase three. So, you know, that's hopefully it'll be a relief, you know, for people that are just kind of, you know, sick of the impact of businesses. I mean, especially in the aftermath of having the shutdown.
That's so crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what are you looking forward to the most? Anything that, gets you really excited? Like there's a lot of things on the plate, but anything you're like, woohoo, other than budgets, of course.
Yeah. My favorite.
Your favorite.
It's going to sound really nerdy, but I really am excited about our new treatment plant that's going to be implemented. I was a part of the technical planning team. I have a weird background in wastewater microbiology. So it's something that I actually find really interesting.
That's fun.
So knowing that, you know, our existing infrastructure's from the 50s, from Farragut. I mean, it's ancient. And there's just so many newer technologies out there these days that we're looking forward to take advantage of. That'll just be, you know, good for the community, good for the environment. So, yeah, super nerdy. But
no, that's great. No, that's awesome. You know, hey, man, everybody has something that floats their boat, you know? So, oh, that's exciting. That's exciting. Well, good. Well, I think want to give you an opportunity. Is there anything else that you feel like might be good for you to clarify or bring attention to while you've got a moment here on the breakdown?
Sure. I guess the biggest thing that keeps coming up for me, especially during these really hard times, is just for people to, you know, take a break, just pause, try to consider other people's points of views, and really just be kind to one another.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Well, that's good. Yep. And you know, it's been an interesting, just side note, that kindness has been a word that has been on the plate publicly and with a kindness campaign and different things that have been going on. So I think we're all starting to discover what kindness actually looks like a little bit more, which is awesome because we need more of it. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yep,
good. All right. Well, thanks so much for coming on. Appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. You can find out more about this podcast at BonnerBreakdown.com. You can also support this show and get personal video updates and thoughts from our host at patreon.com/BonnerBreakdown. Thank you for joining us in the conversation.